Thanksgiving Sunday, Reverend Billy.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to you.
This is Dennis Tech of Radio Birdman, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Oh dear, I really want to go upstate.
Well, I gotta put some gas in the car, you know they're still rationing down here.
Oh honey, I want to go up and see the 20-somethings upstate. They can't get jobs and they're not washed. I'm going to bring a washcloth and a bit of my favorite lavender soap.
Oh, I love that lavender soap, honey. It really smells delicious on you.
Oh, think of how it will smell on the 20-somethings. They are so cute when they're sleeping in their cars.
Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night from 9:30 to midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
All Together Now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties, is looking for contributors.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, November the 26, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. The U.S. fires tear gas as some migrants attempt to cross the southern border. Also on the Monday rundown, farmers wary about 2019, given the ongoing trade war. Plus, a freed Kentucky death row inmate shares his story. First, our top story, U.S. border agents fired tear gas on hundreds of migrants protesting near the border with Mexico on Sunday. Yahoo News reports that action was taken after some of them attempted to get through the fencing and wire separating the two countries. American authorities shut down border crossings from Tijuana, where thousands are waiting to apply for asylum.
Yahoo quotes Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen as saying U.S. authorities will continue to have a robust presence along the southwest border. She added that DHS will not tolerate this type of lawlessness and will not hesitate to shut down ports of entry for security and public safety reasons. Concerns about 2019 are growing as the U.S. trade war continues to hurt farmers. More from Eric Tegedoff.
Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue has said he's confident farmers can plan ahead for market conditions. But this year, the U.S.'s largest agricultural export, soybean, is down 98% to China, the crop's largest importer. Mark Watney, head of the North Dakota Farmers Union, says that makes it hard to know what the future holds for many producers. He says farmers rotate their crops for better yields and to control disease, typically between corn and soybeans, which means leaving out soybeans also will affect corn.
Just to suggest that being soybeans is low, we all switch to another crop and everything's magical, it doesn't work that way. We tend to flood those other markets and we lower those prices. And then we have the same scenario playing out where we're planting something that doesn't make any money.
The Trump administration created a $12 billion emergency aid program this summer to help farmers caught in the middle of the country's escalating trade war. $6 billion of that aid was made available in September, and the other half is expected to be available next month. Perdue says it's unlikely more aid will be made available after that.
And 1,800 miles separate Iowa from California, but a law passed by voters there could affect how many Iowa eggs are sold in the Golden State 4 years from now.
At the polls this month, voters approved a measure that requires all eggs sold in California come from cage-free hens by 2022. As the nation's largest egg producer, Iowa will need to make big changes to comply. Cody Carlson with the group Mercy for Animals says the overwhelming support for California's Proposition 12 confirms that many Americans no longer want to eat eggs from battery-caged hens.
The demand for cage-free eggs is exploding nationwide. In the last 7 years, the sale of non-organic cage-free eggs has gone up by about 500%. So they're available really wherever you are these days in mainstream supermarkets.
Major retailers, including Walmart and McDonald's, have pledged to switch to cage-free eggs in the next decade. I'm Roz Brown.
More than eggs will be affected. The measure approved by voters also bans the sale of pork and veal in California from farm animals raised in cages that don't meet the state's minimum size requirements. We're on the eve of Giving Tuesday now, and North Carolina charitable groups are counting on another year of public generosity.
As Giving Tuesday approaches, the North Carolina Secretary of State's report shows an almost $6 million increase from 2017 to 2018, giving hope to local charities for this year's event. The nonprofit group NC Child has shifted the focus from its own fundraising efforts to the needs in local communities. Fawn Patterson with NC Child explains.
Our work is to build a strong North Carolina by building strong children, and that's not something that we can do alone. And what these organizations do for the kids in our communities really does have a lifelong impact.
She says NC Child's Giving Tuesday approach encourages donors to support child-focused charities across all 100 counties. This is Antoinette Kerr reporting.
The North Carolina Secretary of State Annual Report of Charitable Solicitation is online at sosnc.gov. And finally, Mary Sherman reports convicted of a crime he didn't commit. Gary Drinkard spent 6 years on death row before the truth was revealed.
Drinkard was sentenced to death for a 1993 Alabama murder and was eventually exonerated due to prosecutorial misconduct. He may be a free man now, but Drinkard explains the capital murder conviction shattered his relationships with his family and have made it difficult to find a decent job.
The cost of it overall extremely outweighs keeping a person in prison for life. And like one of our members said, you can release a man from jail, but you can't dig him out of the grave, an innocent person. And there's a lot more innocent people on death row. I mean, people don't realize it. There are.
Total of 164 people in the U.S. have been exonerated from death row, including Larry Osborne of Kentucky. Drinkard speaks at 7 p.m. at the Mother of Good Counsel Catholic Church in Hazard. As a volunteer with Kentucky Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, Helen Brunty points out just 30 states use the death penalty, down from 37 in 2004.
We're moving away from the death penalty across the United States, and studies indicate that the elimination of the death penalty actually reduces crime rather than the opposite. It's a cruel and unusual punishment. There is no humane way to kill somebody.
More than 2,700 people are on death row in U.S. prisons, including more than 30 in the state of Kentucky. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week, newsin' and cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Philip Graham. Diane Belden is reporting for the Columbia paper. After 67 years of operation, the Yaddax Box Funeral Home in Germantown will close its doors for good December 1st. Funeral director George Fox, 73, and his wife Paula have decided to retire and are moving to Maryland. For the past 48 years, the funeral home located at 209 Main Street has been Fox's home and business. Fox's predecessor, Peter Yaddax, sold him the place in 1971. Yaddax purchased a 19th-century residence from Jonas Potts in 1951. According to Fox, Potts was a fisherman, butcher, and the county coroner. Fox purchased, refurbished, and tripled the size of the place, adding 3 bedrooms to the upstairs residence, 2 chapels, and a lounge. An Army veteran, when Fox returned from a tour of duty in Vietnam, he looked for a place to break into the funeral business and found Germantown. He said the town was, and I quote, gracious, end quote, and welcoming to him. And I quote, it was like my hometown out in the boondocks, end quote. Though Fox sought out buyers interested in taking over the business, he was not successful. He said, and I quote, nobody wants to do the 24/7 anymore. It's not just a business, it's a way of life, end quote. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. The Daily Freeman is reporting that the Columbia County Sheriff's Office said a Saratoga man was shot in a hunting accident on private property in Valencia November 20th. Deputies responding to a 911 call shortly after 5 p.m. and found Robert Potter, 54, of Corinth, with a shotgun wound to his left leg. According to a press release from the Sheriff's Office, Potter was accidentally shot by his hunting partner, Ernest Sutliff, 38, of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Potter and Sutliff were hunting with other family members. Potter was taken by private vehicle to CMH Rapid Care for treatment, and he was later taken by ambulance to Albany Medical Center. The State Department of Environmental Conservation is investigating the incident. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Richard Moody is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Columbia County will contract with Maryland-based engineering company EMG to survey and assess multiple county-owned buildings as the first step toward long-term capital planning. Board of Supervisors Chairman Matthew Morrell said the County Board of Supervisors November 14 approved a $28,000 contract with EMG, and it will be executed in the coming weeks. EMG is expected to begin its work shortly after the agreement is signed, and the project will take 9 weeks to complete. The company will inspect the county's facilities and create a building condition survey for use by county officials. Included on EMG's list of buildings in Hudson, the county office building at 401 State Street, the Department of Motor Vehicles building on Warren Street, the Treasurer's building on 6th Street, the former school that currently houses the probation department at 610 State Street, the highway department building on Route 23B, as well as the Nutrition Center building in Philmont. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting the New York Public Interest Research Group, or NYPRIG, has released its 33rd annual Trouble in Toyland report on dangerous and toxic toys. Highlights this year include toxic amounts of boron, a slime product, and Amazon's failure to appropriately label choking hazards. Boron can cause nausea, vomiting, and other health issues. Jana Borgia, NYPRIG Consumer Protection Project Leader at SUNY New Platts, said toy manufacturers must do a better job ensuring their products are safe. Trouble in Toyland each year issues its toy safety guidelines and provides examples of toys currently on sale that pose potential safety hazards to small children. In addition to advisories about slime with toxic levels of boron and missing online choking warnings, NYPRIG also listed 2 smart toys, a robot toy and tablet, that pose privacy concerns. NYPRIG's tips for safe toy shopping can be found at toysafetytips.org. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts Monday there's a 90% chance of snow, then rain, and then perhaps snow again overnight. Cloudy skies, high near 39, and a low around 33 Monday night. Tuesday, again, there could be rain or snow showers throughout the day, with mostly cloudy skies, a high near 37, and a low around 26 Tuesday night. Wednesday should be mostly cloudy with a high near 35 and a low around 27. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, creative community radio.
WGXC has new program changes coming December 1st, and we have a place for you on your local airwaves. Are you a musical expert with deep knowledge in an underrepresented genre? Do you have something to say about politics in the Hudson Valley or want to help your neighbors tell their stories on the air? Go to WGXC.org and click on the volunteer page to fill out an application and get on the air at 90.7 FM.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to Stars and Stripes. Listen to Texas. Listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeples. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio, WGXC.
Here is legendary Hudson Valley saxophonist Joe McPhee and New York City experimental musician Matt Motel performing together in the Wave Farm Study Center, November 18th, 2018.
Thank you. Joe McPhee in the studio. I'm Matt Motel on an assortment of sonic devices.
Sonic disruptors.
Sonic disruptors. Yeah.
Here's Hudson Valley singer-songwriter Lorcan O'Reilly with his song I Reside from his 2018 release Heaven Depends.
Day and night, it's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me and ease my mind, imagine how the world would be so very fine. So happy together. I can see me nobody but you for all my life. When you're with me, maybe the skies will be.
WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
Fridays on WGXC are made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Shelley Wiener of Germantown, New York. Sustaining supporters like Shelley are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to health care and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
Here's Greg Farley, who used to play with the Felice Brothers, with his 2018 release, Wrong Side.
Job no more, they got a robot for that now, and it don't need a rest stop, it don't need to fall home. There's a bank on my street, and I walked past there a couple days a week. Money coming in, people going now. Well, maybe I should get a gun, get a fast engine, hit it and run. Maybe I was born on the wrong side. Maybe I was born in the wrong time. I remember you telling me, get into the trades factory, maybe get a badge, protect what the rich folks have. I could have been a contender, everybody, they love a winner. Couple bad breaks, I never seem to hit my stride. Well, maybe I should get a gun, get a fast engine, hit it and run. Maybe I was born on the wrong side. Maybe I was born in the wrong time. Why don't you save what you earn? If I didn't eat, I'd have money to burn. Well, you must be lazy. You gotta work for what you want. While you sleeping in, I've been moving. And when you lay your head down at night, I'm straining to keep open my eyes. So I got to ask why I got so little, you flying so high. Maybe I was born on the wrong side. Maybe I was born in the wrong time.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
Next, we have these reports.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
My name is Miss B, and I am an author, a speaker, and a coach. I help families who have family members with addiction or mental health.
I understand that you've recently written a book.
Yes, I've written a book. It's called Deborah's Daughter, A Memoir of Perseverance Through Family Addiction. And it talks about the challenges that I've had growing up in the 80s during the crack epidemic and how it changed the relationship between me and my mom. I basically watched her go from a very independent, caring, nurturing matriarch to the opposite of that once the crack epidemic took effect.
We want folks to read the book.
Yes.
But
yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that experience and how it led to the current career that you have?
As an entrepreneur, you spend a lot of time doing a lot of inward work. So I've always been a sensitive child. I've always been told, oh, you're a sensitive kid. When I was a little girl, I said I wanted to be a social worker or a nun. So I have my bachelor's and my associate's in human services. And then I started to work in the field of addictions in many different capacities, helping mothers get their children back once they gained some sobriety and some healthy coping skills if their children were removed. And I tried to get away from it. There came a time when I was about 15 years into it and I started to get burnt out. So I took a break. And the universe, I really believe this is where I need to be. So now I'm back into addictions and I'm back to helping families, but it's on a different level as a coach. Because a lot of times people don't realize when you have family members who are involved in alcoholism and addiction, when daddy gets sent upstate and he's doing time, the moms are doing time too. The grandmothers are doing time too. The kids are doing, they feel the same things. We're not in a prison like they are, but we're in a social prison and an emotional prison. A lot of times when there's a parent who is an addict, we can either play the hero and try not to be like them, or we can pick up those same behaviors. It's like we're almost like dry drunks. It's important that if you have a family member who's an addict, it's not all about them. You still have to live your life. So my purpose is to teach people you have to have like a self-recovery. While they're going through their recovery, you go through a self-recovery because there'll be ups and downs in their recovery. And if they relapse or if they're doing good, shouldn't depend on how you feel because they're going to go through cycles and it's a part of addiction. Addiction and recovery, it doesn't mean you're going to be clean for the rest of your life. A lot of people don't realize that. We learn through our relapses, and that's how they grow, and that's how they learn. So if you have a spouse and you know they're in recovery, you can't be like, well, you picked up again, it's over. That's not fair.
Right, because studies show that people go in and out of treatment many times.
Many
before,
times, and yes, exactly.
You know, before it's, the messages begin to stick or before life circumstances change and they're able to make those changes for themselves.
Definitely, definitely.
So you struck out on your own and you started your own business.
Yes, yes. It's called Family Addiction Management. It's still in the startup phase. I am offering free services.
And so what do those services encompass? What should someone expect if they contact you for help?
When adults go into treatment, they have a treatment plan or a recovery plan, and it's very extensive and it's very long. Now, we identify together, me and the client, what their goals are going to be within the next 3 months regarding how they're going to deal with the family member's recovery. So I'm sure the person may trigger them or their different behaviors. you know the relationship better than I would, so you would identify, we would figure out together what triggers you, and you would have a safety plan and a health recovery plan that regardless of whatever that person, that family member is going through, that you are going to be at your ultimate wellness. You're still going to be able to be there for them, but more importantly, you're going to be there for yourself, regardless of what's going on with that family member. Now, it'll be different if there's a young child, because we do have adolescents that are in treatment and residential programs.
And you offer those services to parents who are dealing with,
yes,
with children
exactly,
in treatment as well.
Exactly, because you have sometimes kids, when they go off to college for the first time, they might not be that experienced with alcohol and drugs, and they may get kicked out of school. You know, just bringing that support to keep your sanity and help them at the same time.
So this work really grew out of your own personal experiences.
Yes.
Like I said, I do want people to read the book, and
yes,
we'll tell them how to get it. But
yes,
can you talk a little bit about what you experienced and how that grew into the kind of services that you want to provide to others today?
Oh, yes. It was very transient. We just moved, homeless. There was no consistency.
Did you remain with your mother, or were you?
With my mom. And CPS, or Child Protective Services, they would come to the school and interview us, and there is a part in the book. There's a cultural law. What happens at home stays at home. You don't put your business in the street. And that's in the book, too. But I steadfast to that, so I didn't say anything. So they were monitoring us, but they couldn't really. And we moved around so much, so every time we came back, a new case would open. But it took, for me, once I had my daughter, it's like they put the pressure on, because I was 17 when I had her, and I was like, they're going to take this baby. They're going to take, and before they could take her, I'll tell you whatever you need to know. Get me and my baby out of here. You know how when it's cold in the wintertime and you can see your breath? We lived in a crack house. It was a rooming house, but everybody in there smoked crack. And it was a
this
winter.
This was when you had your
Yeah, when I had
daughter.
My baby. It was mm-hmm. how her first winter, she might have been about 9 months old. And it was so cold in the apartment. You could see the air. And my baby, she got sick. So I took her to the doctor. They sent her to the hospital. And when my baby was in those IVs and all those things like that, I said, help me. Help us get this, get us out of here for this. So it was turning points like that. But before my daughter came along, it was me and my mother together. Then it was me and my sister together. Then my mother would leave with my sister. It was just very inconsistent. And also the relationship with me and my mom, she became very bitter, very angry, and very, very mean toward me.
After the CPS intervention?
No, basically pretty much from 12 to 17, it was bad. It was almost like she had a real detest, like a real hate for me. And it was different before. It wasn't the best, but once that happened, it really kind of catapulted.
What's your relationship like with your mother today?
Now, my mother has transitioned on before she passed, right before she passed. Our relationship did heal. I've been forgave her. I'm learning that there's levels to forgiveness. I thought I was doing pretty good, and God or the universe revealed to me there's still some stuff that I got to work on to truly forgive her. But before she passed away, she did give her life to Christ, and she came into her own healing. So the book doesn't tell the whole story. It just tells this is a part of the story, and there is a time where we do come together that was the catalyst for healing our relationship. So the book doesn't tell everything, but it tells enough where you get the gist. I realized that my mother does love me. She did love me, and she did the best she could under the circumstances, Reaganomics. I can only imagine, because we lived pretty well, to be living in a house with all your children. We had a great backyard in Long Island. We even had a housekeeper. My mother, it was just, we had a wonderful time. And then I remember the landlord, he came, he was a Nassau County cop. He would always come in his uniform and get his rent. And I was just running through the living room, and my mother said, I'll burn this house down before I let you sell it. So for some reason, we just had to move after that. And I think that's what it was. I think just the transition of uprooting her children, because we all were separated then.
Was there a point at which your relationship with your mother changed?
There were so many points, but the one that kind of stood out for me was I was kind of in my element, feeling myself, you know, I got my good state job, and, you know, she's staying with me, and my brother's staying, and I'm doing really good. And life humbled me. I had an experience where I needed my mother. I needed her. In the middle of her crackness, she stopped everything and made room and made time to listen to me. And that what made me realize that she does care and she does love me. And then after that, about a year later, just me trying to put the pieces back together, I ended up staying with her. So it was kind of like, okay, because you get to the point, you're always going to need your mother. Yeah. You always will need your
you're
mother.
You're always going to need your mother.
Yes, yes.
Do you remember your mother being a drug user your entire life?
No. There's some young people that I grew up with who kind of read the book, and we're putting notes together because their parents succumbed to it too. I would say from 12 until 40-something.
Were there any repercussions for you kids as the kids of... There was a lot of stigma in the 1980s around people who used drugs, particularly crack, in the African-American community. And I'm wondering whether you felt that stigma yourself as a child.
I felt it only because, like, I knew and I wondered if everybody else knew. It wasn't necessarily being teased, but just a scare that if anybody knew, I would be so embarrassed. I remember having a lot of friends, and they were not allowed to come to my house. Their parents would not allow them to come. Mm-hmm. I remember one morning, me and my sister were on our way to school, and I don't know what happened the night before, but someone got mad, and they spray-painted crack house with red spray paint on the side of the house. And I remember being so, I'm like, oh, my God, all the kids are going to see this as we walk to school. And my sister just looked at me like, let's just go.
Do you think that your mom had access to the kind of services that she may have needed to bring her addiction under control?
That's a good question. I never thought about it.
One of the things we see, particularly in the African American community, is over-intervention by the state. Child protective workers coming in and separating families.
Yeah.
We've certainly talked about that on this show.
Yes.
Do you wish the state had intervened sooner? Or on the flip side, do you feel like the life that you had with your mom, are you grateful that you were able to stay with your mother?
I am grateful. There is no mistaking. I was meant to have that experience. And I don't know if she knew about other types of services, if she would have took advantage of it. Because I know now they have women and children centers, but with five children, what I can only imagine.
It must have been difficult to contemplate writing a book about such a private experience that you had.
Yes, that's why I was working on it for so years, picking it down, putting it up, picking it in. And then when I had the opportunity, it's almost like I felt pregnant. It was like, I have to give birth. I have to do this now. Like, people are waiting for this. Like, people need to know they're not alone and they can survive. You can live a healthy, well life if you have experienced that. And even if you're an addict, you can live a well life if you're educated about the disease of addiction and if you know yourself.
How can folks get a copy of the book?
Well, the book is on Amazon. It's called Deborah's Daughter, A Memoir of Perseverance Through Family Addiction. And it's by myself, Bernadette Willis, Miss B.
What a story. Well, thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity. This is awesome.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts Monday there's a 90% chance of snow, then rain, and then perhaps snow again overnight. With cloudy skies, high near 39, and a low around 33 Monday night. Tuesday, again, there could be rain or snow showers throughout the day, with mostly cloudy skies, a high near 37, and a low around 26 Tuesday night. Wednesday should be mostly cloudy with a high near 35 and a low around 27. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, creative community radio. Tune in Special Sounds, interviews with your friends and neighbors and more on the radio, Monday, November 26th. There's an audio buffet at 11 a.m. with sounds from Annie Gosfield, Jean-Claude Rosette, and others. Then Lincoln Mayorga's in for the Monday musical matinee after the noon news. Sarah Faulkner and Lauren G.M. Brun host their final edition of Roots Runners and Rhizomes, and they talk to the folks at Hudson Hemp about cannabis medicine and more at 2 p.m. on 90.7 FM. Tonight at 9:30 p.m., Max Hamill's in with his instrumentality show live from Hudson in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on the radio at 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. Oh, yeah.
WGXC has new program changes coming December 1st, and we have a place for you on your local airwaves. Are you a musical expert with deep knowledge in an underrepresented genre? Do you have something to say about politics in the Hudson Valley or want to help your neighbors tell their stories on the air? Go to WGXC.org and click on the volunteer page to fill out an application and get on the air at 90.7 FM.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
On Monday, the 26th, Literacy Connections of the Hudson Valley is seeking volunteers to conduct an English as Another Language drop-in class for adult speakers of other languages. Volunteer orientation begins at 6 p.m. at Ichabod Crane High School. No previous teaching experience is necessary. Mars Williams of the Psychedelic Furs and Friends play the music Albert Eiler and also Christmas music at Tubby's in Kingston starting at 8:30 p.m. Then on Tuesday, the 27th, The Isle is Full of Noises, an environmental sound installation at MPAC RPI Troy. For more information, visit rpi.edu. Weekly adult Spanish classes will resume at the Hudson Area Library with two levels, Advanced Beginner at 5:30 p.m. and Intermediate at 6:45 p.m. On Thursday, the 29th, musicians take an ambient freeform musical journey inspired by the collective ingestion of cava, a drink we have come to know and love, in cava music at Hilo in Catskill, starting at 7:30 p.m. Al Margolis and Max Hamill are two semi-local noise performers. Henry Birdsey is a multi-instrumentalist, composer, and recording engineer from Vermont, working primarily with Microntal organ, lap steel, violin, and homemade instruments. Jen Culler is a sound-based performer and sculptor. She modifies found objects that are cultural signifiers, power, gender, queerness, and intimacy to create atypical instruments. And they will all be playing at Tubby's in Kingston starting at 8 p.m. And then on Friday, the 23rd, Lorcan O'Reilly belated record release show for his Heaven Depends album, with opening bands Horse-Eyed Man and Bell Skinner at Hilo in Catskill at 7:30 p.m. Phantom Erratic No. 16, featuring stimulating electronic sounds and performances by Cube, Jen Cutler, Miata Kowinzi, HSFB, and Yvette Janine Jackson at the Root Cellar in Greenfield, Massachusetts, beginning at 8 p.m. Live web stream on WGXC.org. Get help with resumes, interview skills, online job applications, and finding the right market for your particular job skills at the Hudson Area Library from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And finally, on Saturday, December 1st, 2018, the North Chatham United Methodist Church hosts a holiday bazaar sponsored by the United Methodist Women of the North Chatham and Grace Nassau Churches at Nassau Chatham United Methodist Church from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The 22nd Annual Winter Walk starts at 5 p.m. in Hudson Hall at the historic Hudson Opera House, including Santa Claus himself and a fireworks display from the Hudson River. Choreographer Adam H. Weinert's Rip the Nut is a pantomime-style, Hudson Valley-inspired mashup of the Rip Van Winkle story and Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker Suite, beginning at 5 p.m. in Hudson Hall at the historic Hudson Opera House. The Rough Shapes will be performing their unique brand of surf-inspired rock with guest vocalist Jennifer Dubois joining in for some originals and covers at Hilo in Catskill starting at 8 p.m. That's it for this week's WGXC Community Calendar. You can add your own event to the calendar and hear it right here on the radio by visiting WGXC.org and clicking on the calendar link at the top of the page.
is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.